Blog Talk Radio.
And we want to know which one it says to use in the scriptures. For
the simple reason that, you know, we're told which one to use. So let us go ahead and continue in this matter. Pray nobody got offended this morning, because I know there are people who use the Enoch calendar. They swear by it. But Enoch just didn't put out one calendar. He put out two calendars in the same chapter, as a matter of fact, in the book of Enoch. He tells about the solar calendar, and he tells also about the lunar calendar. He tells the phases of the moon. He also says, you know, and people can read those verses as though, you know, he's saying that this is the first day of the moon phase. And so the first phase of the moon is the new moon. The first day of the moon is the new moon. But we're going to show in scriptures where that is really talking about a month. And so when we look at these words in the scriptures, you know, we have to be mindful that month or seasons or certain words can have more than one word in the Hebrew. And you know, I've been looking at these this afternoon and trying to determine, like moon, it will say, it will, you know, has a specific name for moon, and we're going to look at that. But then when you see new moon, it doesn't give the name for the moon, the name, you know, the word that it calls the moon. If you read Enoch chapter 78, then you know that he actually had names for the different phases of the moon. He had four names for the different phases. Now, we call them something, and he had four names for the specific phases of the moon himself. But then he said that the phases of the moon were split up into 15 sections, the first 15 days and then the second 15 days of that moon. And every day you get 1/15 increase for the first half, and then the second half you get 1/15 of an increase in light, or 1/15 of an increase in the light from the new moon to the full moon, and then from the middle of the full moon to the end, or when it's dark again, it decreases by 1/15 of the light. So, you know, it's very detailed. But he also says that, you know, that we're looking at the new moon. And so we're going to look at this term, new moon, in the scriptures, in the term moon in the scriptures, and see that there is a specific verse that actually tells us what we're supposed to base the calendar on. And so I want to take the time today to do that. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, those that are on the internet in general. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And we pray that you have been, as I said, blessed on today, and that you've gotten a prescribed rest, or you spent time with the Most High. We want to greet those in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, those that are on the internet in general. We want to, whether you're in North America or South America, on the African continent, in the European theater, in the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. All right, on today, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe that I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, O Yah Elohim. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And we worship you on this evening, Father. We bow down to you. And we give you our adoration to you and to you only, Father. Will we worship and another will we not bow down to, and another will we not obey. But you, Father, hallelujah, we just glorify you on this day. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. You are worthy of all the glory, honor, and the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. Our scripture for today. Let's go, well, you probably don't have it. It's the book of Enoch, chapter, 1 Enoch, chapter 78 and verse 12. 1 Enoch chapter 78 and verse 12. And on the first day it is called the new moon, for on that day daylight rises on it. Now, we got people, you know, well, let me just say this. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, and Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Now, the book of Enoch was part of scripture. It is now part of the Pseudepigrapha. Which is part of the Apocrypha, and, you know, some people subscribe to it, some people don't. I don't say, you know, I'm not here to say whether Enoch is canonized or should be canonized or not. It is mentioned, the book of Enoch is mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible, as mentioned in other works, so we consider it, and a lot of people take it as canonized scripture, accepted scripture. And a lot of them base their Bibles off of that. It is the end of the Shabbat. Let us sound the shofar. Thank you.
something I'm learning as I'm just real life. Yeah. Ooh, we've got to keep the commandment. I was tired of being fed up, so I got the Bible and opened it up. Yeah. And I saw that I was living wrong, wild out, yes I was. Now I do my best to follow these laws. Oh yeah. And I decided I'll stop playing games. I don't wanna be the same like I used to be. Oh no. I'ma change my life. I'ma do things right. Too much, and the truth out the truth, back and forth too much.
No, no.
This time I'm gonna be faithful, that's for sure. Yeah, 'cause I don't wanna live the way I did before. Oh, no, 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 no.
Camouflage. We gotta be wise, open your eyes to the most high. must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's heaven sent. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seeking to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. So which is the right, or why is it important for us to use the right calendar? Go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. And then I'm going to take us back to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to come back here just to remind us of some things, reinforce some things in us. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 4. Even holy convocation, which you shall proclaim in their season. Remember, he told us to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and then we'll come back here. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, and Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons. The same terminology, and is actually the same Hebrew word. So let's look this word up again in the Hebrew. For seasons, this is moed. Moed or moada. And it is from the Strong, what is that, 4150, and this means properly an appointment, appointed time, the Moed, okay? So this is the word in Genesis, and when we go to, when we go back to the book of Leviticus chapter 23, the same word is used there in Leviticus 23. So Leviticus 23 and verse 4, these are the feasts of Yah, even the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their season. So he said that the lights in the sky were given to us for seasons, both of them, okay? But then he's going to tell us which one we're to use to declare the beginning or the seasons itself. Okay, and so when we start looking up these words like moon and new moon and seasons, we'll find that, you know, for the same word, we might have a different Hebrew word for those things, for those particular things. But in this moedat, and it's the same word from Genesis, okay? Now, he wanted us to keep the appointed time. And, you know, and I know I have some people listening who may not be aware of all the feast days. I'm just going to read through this so we understand the feast days, the appointed times that the Most High said that we were supposed to keep with him. Starting in verse 4, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 4. These are the feasts of Yah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their season, in the 14th day of the first month. So it's important that we understand what is the first month. If you can't keep the feast, if you can't determine what's the first month, okay? So in the 14th day of the first month at evening is Yah's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yah. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And in the first day you shall have a holy convocation. That means that a holy convocation means there's no work that day. You're not supposed to work that day. Okay? And you shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation again. And you're not supposed to work that day either. And you shall do no servile work therein. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I gave unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, and you shall bring in a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yah to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, this is a Sunday, and because the Sabbath is on a Saturday, and you're going to bring it to the priest on the day after the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day, and it's talking about the first day of the week, heaped up to the Most High. This is the day that Messiah came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day. So he came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath and the beginning of the first day of the week. Okay, because he has to keep Sabbath also, so he wasn't going to break Sabbath, even coming from the dead, coming out of the tomb. But that first day would be the heave offering or the feast of first fruits. The church calls it Easter. Easter has nothing to do with Messiah. Bunny rabbit and eggs have nothing to do with him. So they mix all this pagan stuff up with it. It's called the Feast of the First Fruits. Okay? To offer that day when you wave the sheep and the lamb without blemish of the first year of a burnt offering unto Yah. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Yah for a sweet savor, a sweet smell to the Most High. See, all sacrifices weren't for sin. You had the free will offering. That could have been, you know, a bull or a lamb or a goat. And you just wanted to make an offering to the Most High. Okay? And it wasn't for sin. It was a sweet smell in his nose, in his nostrils, a sweet savor unto him. Let's see, where was I at? And the drink offering thereof shall be wine, the fourth part of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto Yah, your Elohim. It shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations and all your dwellings. And see, part of this first fruit, you're supposed to make an offering to the Most High. Make an offering to him. And you shall count unto you from tomorrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths, you shall count. So the counting after you brought the heave offering from that Sabbath, you're to count seven Sabbaths. That's 49 days. So seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto tomorrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto God. 50 days in Hebrew is penta. That's where they get the word Pentecost. 50. Now, we're supposed to celebrate that. It's not a new feast day in the New Testament. It is a old feast day that the Most High said that Israel would honor. And this was for the gathering of the fruit, the harvest. You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of 2/10 seal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits of Yah. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock and two rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto Yah with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire, a sweet smell or a sweet savor unto Yah. So this was not for sin. This was for to bless Yah, to bless the Most High. You shall sacrifice one kid of the goat for a sin offering and two lambs for the first year for a sacrifice of a peace offering. So you had a sin offering and then you had a peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yah with two lambs. And they shall be holy unto Yah for the priest. So these were for the priest and they were to eat them. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. So on Pentecost, you're not supposed to be working either, even though it's Sunday and most of the churches in the U.S. celebrate Sunday as their day of worship. This was the first day of the week to Israel, and it was to be a holy convocation, okay, and a feast. Wasn't supposed to work on this day, even though normally you could work on this day. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corn. Let's skip down to verse 23. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of the trumpet, a holy convocation. So the first day of the seventh month was to be a holy convocation, and it's the memorial blowing of the trumpet, and you're not supposed to work that day. Because it's a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 27, also on the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yah, your Elohim. Now, a lot of people use the Day of Atonement to try to, you know, have all of their sins atoned for and accounted for on that day. And this is traditionally the way, I won't say traditionally, this is the way when I came into this walk that I found Hebrews celebrating this day. But when you study out the Day of Atonement, if you committed a sin that was not atonable for, meaning that a sin that was willful, you couldn't make a sacrifice. And so the Day of Atonement was the day that the priest actually cleaned the temple of sin. All the rest of the year when you brought your sacrifice for sin that you were allowed to bring for sin, that blood of that sacrifice was put under the altar in the sanctuary, in the temple. And it was not forgiven. It was forgiven before you before, but on the Day of Atonement is when the Most High recognized that, you know what, all of your sins, and the priest had to name them all of your sins that you have committed, they are now forgiven on this Day of Atonement, okay? And the temple was cleansed with blood, not with spick and span or Ajax, but with blood. And then the next year would start off. So their atonement would be for 1 year. And if the priest died, then the nation would still, their sins weren't forgiven that year. Okay, so if your sins were not, if you weren't able to bring a sacrifice for a sin up under Torah because you did something willfully, your sin wasn't forgiven on the Day of Atonement. He said, your iniquity shall remain upon you. But Israel has been using this day to say, you know what? The Most High is going to forgive all my sins. And we're going to, you know, they'll start confessing their sins on for atonement and, you know, trying to make up. But that's the incorrect use of that day. Okay, and so we have to understand how he actually set this up. So we were to keep that day, and you weren't supposed to work on this day. And if you worked on this day, then it was actually a death sentence. And you shall do no work in the same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yah, your Elohim. For whosoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off. Cut off means to be killed from among his people. Didn't mean that to say, hey, get out. No, they literally cut your life off. Okay? You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening. For evening, from evening to evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying, the 15th day of this month, the same seventh month, shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto Yah. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Can't work. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah, and on the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work. So you got the first day is a holy day, and the eighth day is a holy day. And you shall not do any work in those days. These are the feasts of Yah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. An offering made by fire unto Yah, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon his day. Besides the Sabbaths of Yah, and besides your gifts, all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give unto Yah. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Yah 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, and branches of the palm trees, and of the boughs of the thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yah your Elohim 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yah 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. And you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And you shall dwell in booths 7 days. This was to remind them that they dwelled in booths in the wilderness. You know, temporary dwellings. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Now, this tabernacle is the only feast day that was required, will be required in the future, in the future kingdom, for Gentiles to keep. Every nation will have to come to Jerusalem. If they're not a member of Israel, they will have to come to Jerusalem for tabernacles. If they want to come close to the Most High and keep all of his feast days, then there are certain laws that go along with those as well. Okay? That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yah your Elohim. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Yah. So these are the feasts that the Most High declared that Israel should keep. And now Messiah was a Jew. Messiah was a Hebrew Israelite. Okay? And Messiah kept the feast day. And so when the Most High didn't get rid of the feast days, his holy days, when he instituted the church, when Messiah rose, he didn't cancel out his feast days. Okay? Because these are covenants forever. And if you want to know what the Most High is doing, the feast days tell you what he's doing. Because these feast days have dual meaning. Just as Passover related to Messiah. He will become our Passover. The Most High said anybody that comes up under the blood of the Lamb in Egypt, lamb that you put on the doorpost, death will pass over them. That's what Passover is about. Death will pass over them. When we come into Messiah and we accept him as our Savior, our Redeemer, and the Most High says, this judgment is going to pass over us, okay, if we do what he says to do. So The feast days tell the moves of the Most High. And the feast days are his feast days. They're not Israel's feast days. They're the Most High's feast days. And these are the ones that he wants his church, his people to celebrate, to observe, to do. Okay, so let us understand that. These are the days that he wants his people, his church, to keep. They're important to him. So it's important that we know when the beginning of the month is. Because we got to know when the beginning of the first month is. We got to know when the beginning of the seventh month is. We have to know these months. And if we don't know how to tell what they are, then we'll be in trouble. We'll be celebrating. We'll be doing what the Gentiles did, just making up days. Oh, Messiah was born on December 25th. You ain't going to find that nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere. So they made it up. Even though his birth date is in the Scripture, but it's prophetically in the Scripture. And the Most High has to give you the insight in the tabernacle. So can we know when Messiah was born? Yes. We know it wasn't December 21st. Okay. So the church just start making up stuff. They start assigning pagan holidays and pagan meanings to the Most High feast day. Because as I said, feast of the first fruit, the heave offering, he didn't call that Easter. He called the feast of the first fruit. So we got to know what his feast days are. And we got to know when they start. We got to know when the beginning of the year starts. So that we can start counting the month. And so we got to know when, how does he look at a month? Continue. The sighting of the new moon, as I said before, a lot of religions, not religions, a lot of people, a lot of different people, pagan culture, civilizations, and Israel used the sun and the moon and the stars to determine the time of year. As long as you're not bowing down and worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars, if you're using them to reconcile time, that's not worshiping them. That's using them for what he gave us, gave them to us for signs and for seasons. So there's nothing pagan about that. It's what you do on those days that make them pagan. Okay, and a lot of countries, a lot of different ethnicities use those days to worship their gods in a way that the Most High said not to worship him. Don't put your baby in the fire. Don't, you know, bow down before the stars, the moon, and the sun. Don't use them to try to tell your future. That's, you know, like using the zodiac. He said, no, don't do that. But if you want to use them to tell what month it is or what time of the year it is, then you can do that. That's what he gave them for, to give light upon the earth and for signs and for seasons. Okay? So remember that word for seasons. That we looked up, Moada, because that is the same word that he uses when it comes to this. So now let's go to, remember we're supposed to watch for the moon of Abib, or we're supposed to watch for the month of Abib. Okay. Abib is the beginning of the year. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, and we're going to get verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 16, observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto Yah thy Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yah thy Elohim brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yah thy Elohim of the flock and of the herd in the place which Yah shall choose to place his name there. Now, he tells them how to observe it in this chapter, but we're just looking at we're supposed to observe this month. Okay. Let's look at this word observe in the Hebrew. That word observe is shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, a primitive root properly to hedge about, as with thorns. You're closing it in. You are trapping it. You're guarding it, generally to protect it, attend to, be ward, be circumspect, take heed, keep, mark, look narrowly, observe, preserve, regard, save. So you're supposed to observe it or watch for it. You got to know, when does it start then? Let me get the other verse where it tells you that this will be shall be the beginning of year, the year for you. I didn't write that one down. Hold on a second. And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, the tenth day of this month you shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall take your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep and from the or from the goat. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day. So we know that this is a beast because Passover is the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. All right, so Abib is a, and Abib actually means earing, like with the corn. When the corn is in earing, when it has, the corn is on the stalk, okay, and it hasn't been taken off the stalk, it is there forming on the stalk, okay? That's what Abib means. So observe the month of earing, and it shall be the first month for you, the first month of the year. Okay, so we got to know when that is. We're supposed to observe it. We're supposed to keep it. We're supposed to do and start celebrating our feast based upon that. Okay, let's continue. Let's go to, so we're supposed to watch for this. Now, I'm going to throw this up right here as to why we use the moon for this. Okay? Because the scriptures tell us, four. The book of Psalms 104. And we're going to get verse 19. Now we know, we read in Ezekiel, I mean in Enoch. Psalms 104 and verse 19. And the word of the Most High reads, pointed the moon. Psalms 104 and verse 19. He appointed the moon for the season. Didn't say he appointed the sun. It says he appointed the moon for season. The sun knoweth his going down. Now remember, we looked at that word, and let's look and make sure that it's the same word in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. I mean, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. It's the same Hebrew word, moedah, moedah, an appointment, a fixed time or season. a festival, specifically a festival, conventionally a year, by implication an assembly as convention for a definite purpose, technically the congregation, by extension the place of meeting, also a signal and as an appointment beforehand, appointed, sign, time, place of solemn assembly, congregation. So he appointed the moon. Now, if we look at moon here, it's typically about the moon as an object. It has a name for that. Okay. And the name for that is Yaraka. The moon. That's the word that he uses there. Now, he didn't say that in Genesis chapter 1. He just said he created the greater light and the lesser light. He created two lights for sign and for season. But here in Psalms chapter 104, verse 19, he tells us he appointed the moon for season. This is how we tell our seasons. This is how we tell the beginning of the month. This is where we start counting it, by using the moon. And it says the sun knows it's going down, but we are to use the moon for the season. So when Enoch breaks the phases of the moon down, and he tells us there's 15, the moon is actually, he broke it down into 15 phases, first half and 15 phases, second half. And he tells us that the first phase of the moon, when the sun shines on the moon, the first time that you can see it after the moon has gone dark, what they call the new moon in today's terms, but what he considers the new moon would be when you could see the crescent, when the first light hits it. That would be the new moon. So that would be the beginning of the month. And we were supposed to account our feast days based upon that. And as I said, you know, the brothers have used the book of Enoch, but the book of Enoch actually does that, doesn't do the solar calendar in, but the Most High appointed the moon for the season. Sun helps out the moon. Because the moon doesn't give light in and of itself. It reflects the light of the sun. So let me see if I have the book of Enoch still up. Hold on a second. Let me pull that back up. I'm going to read the book of Enoch. So that we can get an understanding here, and you know, that Enoch is describing the phases of the moon, and he has different names. Like we got new moon, full moon, crescent moon, waning moon. He had his own names for these. Okay, and then he breaks it down precisely that, you know, the first part after the moon comes out of hiding, for 15 days, it gets brighter and brighter. And then for 15 days, it starts to get, you know, dimmer and dimmer until it disappears. So hold on just a second. I think I closed that. Yeah, I did. Let me look it back up. And here it is right here. I'm just going to read this to you. This is 1st Enoch, chapter 78. And this is where they get the solar calendar from, and this is where the lunar calendar is. The name of the sun are as follows. The first, Aries, and the second, or I guess that's how you pronounce that. The name of the sun. Okay, now, let's see if he defines that. And he doesn't define it here. The moon has four names. The first name is Asanya, the second Ebla, the third Benesi, the fourth Eray. These are the two great lights. Their disc is like a disc of heaven, and in the size, the two are equal. Now, in the night sky, the size of the moon appears to be the same size as the sun. And so when the moon comes between the earth and the sun, we get what is called a solar eclipse. Because the moon in the night sky appears to be the same size because it covers up the sun. But we know that they are not the same size. But the distance of the sun from the earth and the size of the moon and its distance from the earth, then it is able to cover the sun up during an eclipse. But if you were to put them side by side, there is no comparison in the size. But in the sight of it, they look to be equal size. And you can look at the moon, but you can't look directly at the sun, not with the naked eye. Okay. So he says, in size, the two are equal. In the disk of the sun are seven parts of light, which are added to it more than to the moon. And in fixed measure, light is transferred to the moon until the seventh part of the sun is exhausted. This is really talking about the earth's movement and the moon's movement around the sun. Okay? And they set, go into the gates of the west, go around through the north, and rise through the gates of the east on the face of heaven. So we know that the sun rises in the east and set in the west. He's calling those points, okay? And when the moon rises, it appears in the sky and has half of the seventh part of light. And on the 14th day, it makes all its light full. So when it starts off, it has a half of the seventh of the light of the sun. I mean, he's being very descriptive here. And when it is on the 14th day, it makes all of its light full. The moon is completely exposed to the sun, and it's completely reflecting the sun. But because it's only a portion of the power of the sun, a seventh portion, we can look at it. Okay? And 15 parts of the light are transferred to it until on the 15th day the light is full, according to the sign of the year and the amount to 15 parts. And the moon comes into being by half part. And in its waning on the first day, it decreases to 14 days part of light. And on the second to the 13th part. And the third to 12 parts. And on the fourth to 11 parts. So it goes all the way down until we get to... And all the light that remains from the total disappears on the 15th day. So he's talking about that the moon disappears when it starts to go down, wane, when it starts to get weaker. Then on the 15th day, there's no light at all in it. Okay, it's not hitting the sun at all. And in certain months, the moon has 29 days. And once 28 days. And Uriel, and so we have our month, 11 months with 29 days, or no, we don't do it that way. We use 30 days, the solar calendar, the Julian calendar, based upon the solar, but we also have a month that has, February, that has 28 days, okay? And Uriel showed me another law. When light is transferred to the moon, and on which side it transfers from the sun, all the time that the moon is increasing in its light, it transfers as it becomes opposite of the sun. So the earth is on one side, the moon is behind the earth, and the sun is behind the moon is in front of the earth, if you look at it like that, and the sun is behind the earth. As long as the moon is completely behind the earth, it doesn't receive any light from the sun. But as in its orbit, it starts to come from behind the earth, then the light of the sun starts to hit it. and you get that curve that's in that crescent is actually the curve of the Earth. Okay, that's showing up on as a shadow on the moon. All the time that the moon is increasing in its light. So every day the moon gets brighter and brighter. It transfers that as it becomes opposite the sun. Until in the 14 days, its light is full in the sky. It is completely from behind the earth on the 14th day. And the light of it is full. And when it is all ablaze, its light is full in the sky. So it's reflecting the full sunlight. The earth is not blocking it at all. And its light becomes full exactly on the day that as the sun goes down in the west, it rises from the east for the night. And the moon shines for the whole night until the sun rises opposite it. So you can see the moon that night all night long until the sun comes up. And the moon is seen opposite of the sun. So when the sun comes up on the 15th day out of the east, the moon will be full moon in the west, opposite the sun. You can see the sun rising in the east, and you can see the moon about to set in the west. It'll be probably at 2 o'clock in the night sky or in the morning sky. And for 3 months, as its proper time, it achieves 30 days. And for 3 months, it achieves 29 days, during which it completes its waning. And in the first period, it's the first day, 127 days. And in the time of its rising for 3 months, it appears in each month with 30 days. And for 3 months, it appears in each month for 29. By night, for 20 days each time, it looks like a man. You remember the man in the moon, that face? And by the daylight, heaven, for there is nothing else in it excerpt its light. And I think I missed a verse. We're in 78. Yeah, I missed verse 12. So let's go back to verse 12. And on the first day, it is called the new moon. For on that day, the light rises on it. Okay. Now, reason that this is important, because you got Hebrews out here that celebrate, you know, the new moon. But they celebrate it, and they think that the beginning of the month is the full moon, when the moon is the brightest. But Ezekiel is telling us that the new moon is when the sun first hits the moon, not when the moon is full of light, okay? And that Psalms chapter 104 and verse 19 tells us that the moon is given to us to determine the season, to determine the month, to determine the appointed time. Now, what we want to understand is if you're going to have a feast, and when you look at these, all but one of the feast days, the Feast of Trumpets, that day is during the first of the month, during the crescent in that month. Start about the 10th day and go through like the 21st or 22nd. And those days, the moon will be the brightest. If you have a feast that starts in the evening, the actual feast day itself, then you don't want the night to be, with no moon, jet black dark. Because in some places, if there's no external light, you can't see at night at all. If you ever lived in the country where there's no lights at all, and it's a new moon, it's pitch black dark. And you would not want your feast days to be on that. You would want them to be when the moon is at its brightest, because there people are outside. People are observing, even if they're in their house. And you can do a lot by the light of the moon when it's full. It lights up the night brightly. Okay? So we're told in the Psalms that we use the moon. He gave us, he appointed the moon for season, for the appointed time. He told us that the month of Abib is the first month of the year. So it would start with the new moon of the year. And that's usually after the spring equinox, the first new moon after the spring equinox. That will determine that month, the beginning of that month. But they want to use the beginning of the month. It's not. It's determined, the moon determines that. And it's the scripture. So Enoch just broke it down to us, the different phases and how it starts to shine. And at the new moon is when the light first hits the moon after it has been dark. That would be the new moon. Science tells us that the new moon is when the moon is dark. But according to the scripture, the new moon is when we see the first crescent. Now, calculating or scientifically speaking, it's like I said, midnight. You got all the time going up to midnight. You, according to the Gregorian calendar and the way of keeping days, up until 11:59 p.m. is still that day, the day that you were on. So if the day is the 18th, according to the Gregorian calendar and the way the men and the Julian calendar and the way men keep time from 12 midnight to 12 midnight, then all the way up to 11:59 p.m. at night, it would still be tonight. It would still be the 18th. As soon as it turns 12 midnight, then they say it's the next day. We know that the Most High counts from evening to evening, not from noon to noon, not from midnight to midnight, but from evening to evening. Okay, so let's go there. Go to Genesis, chapter 1. Because we have to bring ourselves in line with the way the Most High does things. Men have come up with their own system. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, starting in verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the water. And Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, and that it was good, and Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So go from evening, you go into night, you go into the day, and when it starts to turn night again, that's one day. So all of our feast days, the Sabbath starts in the evening. All of the feast days start in the evening. And he tells us to start them in the evening because that's actually the beginning of the next day. But we look at it as, you know, nighttime is part of this same day. And in the middle of the night, midnight is still nighttime. And then we get the morning, but it's the next day. No, the evening, when it turns midnight, is still that same day. So tonight, when the sun goes down, it will be the 19th. Wherever you're at, when the sun goes down, it will be the 19th. It will be the 19th of March until tomorrow evening when the sun starts to go down. We want, you know, the Most High says the day starts in the evening. Man says the day starts at midnight. if we're going to celebrate and be able to calculate his days the way that he counts. So the Sabbath starts in the evening. The feast days start in the evening. From evening to evening. Let's get that verse. Now, if you read the rest of the days, you're going to see him say the same thing in the evening and the morning. Go to Leviticus chapter 23. All right, amen. Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to get verse 32. And it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening until evening. So all of the Sabbaths and the feast days are Sabbaths. You got your weekly Sabbath, you got your monthly Sabbath, and then you got your yearly Sabbath. Israel keeps the weekly Sabbath and the yearly Sabbath, but the Sabbath, the monthly Sabbath, which is the Sabbath. Why am I having a problem saying that word? The monthly Sabbath, the new moon, Israel doesn't keep. Okay, so there's a month, there's a weekly Sabbath every week, seventh day. There is a monthly Sabbath, which is the new moon, the beginning of the month. We are supposed to celebrate them. And then you got your yearly Sabbath. So from evening unto evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Evening to evening. That's the day, how the Most High designed the day. Man has changed it around and said, hey, it's from midnight to midnight. That's not what the Most High said, okay? Let's go to Numbers chapter 10. The book of Numbers chapter 10. Start in verse 1, because I just want us to see something here in verse 1. And why we do things, we shouldn't be doing anything just for the sake of doing it. Okay, and we should, and for sure, we should not make up anything. Because the Most High said, you know, don't add to or take away from. Do exactly what he says to do. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Okay. Numbers chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Now, that's something else that when I saw this a couple of weeks ago as I began this study. And I'm sitting here with my shofar, and I'm like, you know, the sound of the shofar that we play at the beginning of, you know, for the Sabbath and at the end of the Sabbath here, I'm like, how is this guy making all those noises, these different notes with this shofar? How is he changing the texture of his lips to make these different sounds with this shofar? But what I realized is it was not a horn. Food for thought. It was metal. It's like the bugle that they use in the army. It's a solid piece of metal made into a horn. And you can, by changing, I guess, your breath or your pitch, you don't have to have, you know, the note, the keys for the note. You just change it with your lips, but it's easier. Okay, and so the what they're calling the shofar and the sound of the shofar is really these two trumpets, okay? One made out of silver. Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp. So they didn't blow the shofar, they blew these two trumpets that were made out of silver. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. So one blow of the trumpet, then the leaders of a thousand. So that's how they were broken down. Thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. Trumpet blow would say, everybody who's over a thousand people, y'all come. So gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, and I can't find in the scriptures, you know, what this alarm sound was, but there was an alarm sound with these trumpets. Then the camp shall lie on the east part, shall go forward. And when you blow an alarm the second time, then the camp that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. Now, this could have just been one blast. And it may not be, you know, to take, you know, arms, or it's like this, telling them to what? Move. We're getting ready to move out. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. That's why I say there was a certain sound that they did that was an alarm, and there was a certain sound that they did that was not an alarm, that the people would come. And the sons of Aaron and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yah, your Elohim, and he shall and you shall be saved from your enemy. So this blowing of the trumpet has significance. It actually summons the Most High. We're about to go to war. We need you. And he says that he would come and save us from our enemies. He's going to be the one doing the fighting. And in the day of your gladness, verse 10, in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices of your peace offering, that they may be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yah, your Elohim. So he commands that Israel blows the trumpet in the beginning of the month. And he would meet us there. And when you look at most scriptures, this is when the Most High met with the prophet, Israel, during the beginning of the month. So we are told to blow the trumpet in our solemn assemblies, in our gladness, in our the beginning of our month, to blow the trumpet. And he will come. All we got to do is believe it and do it. Now, this is an ordinance forever. And that's why I'll find that verse. Hold on, let me find that verse real quick. Because we signify the beginning of the month with the blowing of the trumpet. We signify the solemn assemblies with the blowing of the trumpet. We signify Sabbath days with the blowing of the trumpet. So far. And Yah says he will come. If we're in trouble, he will fight for us. But you got to believe it. Okay, so this is why we keep it. Let me find the verse. I think it's in 2 Chronicles. Give me 1 second here. One second, and let me pull up this file. But I just want everyone to know that I don't just, you know, I don't make up anything, and I don't do anything that the Most High hasn't said to do. And when I saw this in the scriptures, I couldn't believe that that Israel didn't do it. And when I went around and asked other Hebrews, do you keep the new moon, the beginning of the month, feast? They're like, no. I'm like, why not? They couldn't give me a good answer. I'm like, well, this is what I see in the scriptures, and why aren't we doing it? So I can't make anybody else do it, but I see it in the scriptures, and I'm going to show you where he says this is an ordinance for forever to Israel. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 2. 2 Chronicles, chapter 2. And we're going to get verses 3 through 3 and 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. To Haran, king of Tyre, saying, as thou did deal with David my father, and did send him cedar to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. As you treated my father, treat me. Behold, I build a house to the name of Yah, my Elohim, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for a continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, and on the Sabbath, and on the new moon, and on the solemn feast of Yah, our Elohim. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. So the new moon, the feast days, the Sabbath, the solemn assembly, we were to observe forever. And anybody that wanted to become part of Israel was to observe this forever. And it doesn't matter if we're not in our own land. The Most High knew that he would kick us out of the land. Still made it an ordinance forever. And so this is why we keep it, because he made it an ordinance forever. And it's to celebrate the new moon, to celebrate the Sabbath, celebrate the feast days. So anything that's most, you know, I don't understand how, you know, my brothers and sisters who say that they are Hebrew Israelites, how they can say they see this, but then they don't want to keep it. And if you're going to keep any of the feast days, you have to keep them all. So they selectively keep the ones that are mentioned in Leviticus or in Deuteronomy. But if it's not in Leviticus or Deuteronomy, then they don't want to keep it. Like the Most High can't give a commandment to do something outside of those books. But he did. And we are to keep it. And so we celebrate the beginning of the month as an ordinance forever. Solomon said, we don't do morning and evening offerings because we can't do sacrifice. We don't have a temple. We don't have the altar to do animal sacrifices. So we don't do the morning and the evening animal sacrifice. We don't have a temple to do a sacrifice for the Sabbath day or for the feast day. Because the Most High said, if you offer an animal sacrifice, not at the door of the temple or not at the door of the tabernacle, it was a sin. So we can't just do that. And we are ourselves. We become the sacrifice. We are the sacrifice that he wants today. He wants our lives to be a living sacrifice before him. So we don't offer the animals, we offer ourselves, our praise and our worship, the worship of our lips, the worship of our hands, the worship, the living of our life holy and acceptable to him. So all those sacrifices, animal sacrifices, were done away with. And we replace them. But we don't get, you know, killed and our blood put up under the altar. Messiah died once and for all for that. for every generation. You come to him, your willful sin is forgiven one time. Your ignorant sin, you don't know it, you can continue to confess that, and he is true and just to forgive you. But we're supposed to live our lives as we are that living sacrifice, acceptable and holy to him. And we observe his feast day. Now, let me see where I want to go from here. Hold on. Look at this. And I want to explain this because, you know, there's people in the church, people in the camp that misunderstand some of these verses. So, and this is coming off the top of my head, so give me a second as I look it up. It wasn't part of this pre-stuff, but I'm going to make it part of it. Chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to do it from this standpoint. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 14 because we need context. We need to make sure that we're getting the whole story so that when a statement is made, we understand why the Most High is saying what he's saying. Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yah has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. So this is the context in which Yah is talking. I have raised up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider what they're doing. The ox know better, but my people, they don't consider. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken Yah. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Why should I beat you anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. Heart is faint. They are so corrupt. The Most High says, you know what? Why should I discipline you anymore? The more I discipline you, the worse you get. From the sole of your foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and purifying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You are sick from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You're like some diseased creature, and you ain't did nothing to try to heal. Ain't put no ointment on, no salve, or anything like that. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land is strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. When the Most High speaks of desolate here, he's not talking about that there's nobody or nothing in it, like it's a desert or like a barren lake bed. He's talking about that Israel is not in the land. They're not in the land the way they're supposed to be, the way he intended. The land is desolate, barren of us. We're in captivity somewhere. Or we're few in number. We're not in control. Strangers control it. And the daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except Yahweh had left unto us a very small remnant, a very few people That's what's in Israel. It's been occupied by another nation. And the Most High says the land is desolate of you. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been as Gomorrah. If the Most High didn't leave a remnant in Israel, they said, you don't know anybody. You don't know nobody today that claims to be from Sodom or Gomorrah. Nobody says, yeah, I'm from Sodom. My ancestors come from Sodom. My ancestors come from Gomorrah. If the Most High didn't have mercy and leave a remnant, we would have been at Sodom and Gomorrah. Nobody would have heard from us either, heard about us. Nobody would have said, hey, I'm from Israel. Nobody would have said, I'm from Judah. There would be nobody to testify that way. Okay? Hear the word of Yah, you rulers of Sodom. Now, he's not really talking about Sodom itself. He's equating Israel to Sodom and Israel to Gomorrah. Give ear unto the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah, because this is their nature. That's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Why are you sacrificing all this stuff to me? Saith Yah, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and fat fed of beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullock or lamb or he-goat. I never wanted them for when you're in unrighteousness. I'm sick of you sacrificing to me, and you are sick from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my court? Why are you coming and appearing before me as though you were righteous, as though you had a right to? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. I can't do away with those. Try to read that as though he wants to do away with them. No, I don't want you celebrating them. I don't want you observing them. I don't want you doing what you're doing because you're sick with sin. You're approaching me and doing these things as I commanded you, like you're righteous. But I don't want that mess. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hated. He don't hate the new moon. He don't hate the appointed feast that he gave. He hates the way Israel is doing them. And he hates the way that they are observing while they're in sin. This is what he hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. I'm tired of you coming to me full of sin, trying to observe my Sabbath day, trying to have a solemn assembly, trying to worship me as though you are righteous. And you are not. I don't want you doing, I don't even want you observing the feast days that I gave you. I don't want you taking part in my holy days. You ain't holy. You're full of sin. It's not what I called for you to do. And that's not why I gave them for you to just do something. Well, it's the Sabbath. We better keep it. You're not honoring me in it. Understand why he says that he doesn't like this. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Now remember, he's saying for all of their feast days. Bursting, bring no more vain oblations, and it is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of the assembly, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. I don't want this from you. I'm going to hide my eyes from you. I'm going to look away from you. I'm not going to accept this offering. I'm not going to accept your gathering when you are saying you're gathering to worship me, and you can't come before me unholy. You can't come before me unclean. You can't be in my presence that way. Verse 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. They are unclean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. When he says seek judgment, he's talking about righteous judgment. Don't be taking somebody's side because you're on their side, but you know they're, what they want is wicked. And you're judging it as though it's righteous. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together. Saith Yah, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is why he hates their new moons and their solemn assemblies and their Sabbaths, because they're not keeping them the way that he said. And they're doing it while they are in sin. The Most High he only want to hear from you in sin if you come in to repent. He don't want you coming to worship before him and you are actively doing wickedness. Appearing before him like you got a right to appear before him, because if you appear before him in that condition, he will kill you. And the problem is that he's not killing people right away today, so they feel like they're okay to do it. He says, I've appointed a day for this. Don't think you're getting away with nothing. I have appointed a day when I will judge all men, when I will judge all people. So because I ain't getting you now, don't think I'm not going to get you. Because I ain't getting you now, don't think that I forget. Matter of fact, I'm having it written in a book, and I'm going to open it on the last day, and I'm going to judge you according to your work. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to say it in the way that I just quoted it to you or paraphrased it to you. We're not going to read all of this, but I want us to understand. He's not doing away with his feast days, and he didn't do away with them in the New Testament either. Okay, so cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, Jacob their sin. Isaiah 58, starting in verse 1. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my way, as a nation that did righteousness. They're seeking me like they do righteousness, but show them their sin, and show them their iniquity, and forsook not the ordinances of their Elohim. So they're approaching me like they are righteous and that they haven't done any wickedness. Like they got a right to do that. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to Elohim. Wherefore have we fasted, they say they, and thou seest not. Now this is Israel talking. Why have we fasted and you don't take note of it? Remember he said, I will hide my eyes from you. I will not hear your prayers. Why are we fasting and you don't take note? You don't see it. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls? And thou takest no knowledge. Before in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. We have brothers teaching the men and the women. It's okay to have sex on the Sabbath. It's okay to have sex any day you want to have it. Seeking pleasure. And then coming before the Most High in an unclean state. Because they love pleasure more than they love Elohim. And exact your labor. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Don't come and seek me out, and you are in sin, like you got a right to appear before me. The Most High is not that merciful. He's not that kind, really. And he don't really play. And any ordinance that he gave, he expects us to keep it forever. And he expects us to keep it in its appointed time. So, I don't want to keep us over 2 hours tonight, because I get started in this and I can go. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. These are for my quote-unquote Christians in the bunch that the church has taught you that, you know, you don't have to observe the Sabbath and the feast days. Okay? Because of the way a verse reads, saying what he's saying, then you'll know that you still have to keep them, even as a Christian, quote-unquote. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now this is Paul talking, okay? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of Elohim and of the Father and of Christ, the mystery of them. The mystery is they're all the same being. Elohim in the flesh, Elohim in the spirit. The mystery of them. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, let any man should, that, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Enticing words are those things that you want to hear, because it's where your heart is at. You know, you can't be enticed with something that's not in you. You can't be tempted with something that is not in you. If you don't smoke cigarettes, ain't nobody entice you with a cigarette. Understand that. So men try to teach things to attract you. And they will interpret the scriptures to attract you, to think the way that they think, to beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Messiah, in Christ, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you may have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit. Philosophy is a thought that men make up. Vain deceit is it's believing in something that is not fruitful. It's not true. Okay? And not after Messiah. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Messiah was the fullness of Elohim. That's why he said, I got to go away that I can send the Comforter. If I don't go away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, can't come. The Holy Spirit is Elohim. Elohim is the Spirit, and he is holy. He's here. The first, the original. He created all other spirits. So when you blaspheme him, it is not forgivable in this world or the world to come. The Holy Spirit is not an angel, and an angel is not more powerful than the Most High. So you can't say if I blaspheme this angel, I'm not going to ever be forgiven. But if I blaspheme the Most High, he'll forgive me. If I blaspheme the Most High in flesh, known as the Son of Man, son of Elohim, I can be forgiven. But if I blaspheme this angel, I can't be forgiven. It's foolishness. It's nonsense. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is the Most High. It is who and what he is. Father. He's also the Son. He's the Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's all of it. He's doing it all. That's the mystery of him. I'm doing it all. Let's continue. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh. Put off that sin by the circumcision of Mashiach. So when Messiah came and he forgave you your sin, you confessed your sin, you went down in the water, you came up out of that water a new creature, a new creation. You were without sin. He took it all away. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of Elohim, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and uncircumcised in your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all transgressions, all your transgressions that are past. Because you got to take the totality of the scripture. Messiah died for your sins that are past. Past meaning when you came to him. The day you came to him and you surrendered, all of your sins past were forgiven, not your future sins. So if we cherry pick these scriptures, we'll be like, he's going to forgive all my trespasses, no matter when I did them. He knew I was going to do that. He's already forgiven me. You are lying your breath thing. Because you're not understanding or discerning the scriptures correctly. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances. What was the handwriting of the ordinances? The charges that were against you. This is what he blotted out. He didn't blot out the law. He blotted out the charges that were written against you. That was against us, which was contrary to us. And took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. He didn't nail the law to the cross. He nailed the charges that were against you, your sins, to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he has made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, triumphing in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or a Sabbath. When do you judge somebody? But see, we don't understand judgment. Judgment comes, he says, judge righteous judgment. You get judged when you break an ordinance, when you break a commandment. You get charged, and you get judged forever. So don't let nobody judge you for not keeping them. That's when you're going to get judged, when you don't do them. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So they read these verses as though Messiah is saying, hey, you ain't got to keep those things, because they're a shadow of what's coming. They have always been a shadow of what's coming. I told you that the feast days represent what the Most High is going to do. And he gave them to us to celebrate, so that we would celebrate what's important to him, and the moves he's going to make. And we've always only known them as a shadow. We didn't know that Messiah. Our forefathers didn't know that Messiah was going to be the Lamb of Elohim. They didn't know that he's going to take the place of the sin sacrifice. That's the fulfillment of the ordinance, the fulfillment of the law. The shadow was blood over these doorposts had you to do that so that I would pass over you. Wherever I saw the blood, I would pass over you, and death wouldn't enter into that house. I wouldn't kill the firstborn in that house. Messiah is the completion of it. So we were looking at a shadow, a type. The shadow of it is the outline of it. And we still don't know all the details of the shadow because there's still future things to happen that ain't been revealed yet, but they're going to be revealed on his feast day. He's already given it to us. So we know some of the shadow. He gave us the outline. You got people don't want to do the outline. You do an outline as a guide. I'm going to teach this. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to have to do this. You outline it. You write it out and you outline it. And the outline is the shadow of the thing. You put the meat in the details. You put the details in it so that you can see it clearly. So they're reading these verses as though they don't have to do these things. But it's because Israel was doing them in a corrupt state. The Most High didn't want them to do it. Now, the Gentile churches, they don't want to do them because we don't want to be like Israel. We don't want to be like them. We want to blame them for killing the Messiah, but we don't want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the same Elohim that's condemning them, that's throwing them away for their sin. You got to get out of my land. And I'm going to send you and disperse you throughout all the nations of the world for what you did to me, because you don't do that to me and just get away with it. Now, the Gentile churches want to say, hey, we can do that, and we ain't like them. We ain't them. But the Most High says, hey, if you don't get it right, I'm going to throw you away too. But he makes a promise to Israel that he's going to wake up a remnant. A remnant is a small number. And he's going to save a remnant. So we have to get this thing right. We can't be reading these scriptures and reading the laws, the statutes, the commandments, and the ordinances and still do what we want to do. He just said, just do what I tell you to do. Obey my law. Don't transgress against them. If there was no law, we couldn't transgress. There would be no sin, because sin is the transgression of the law. There would be no sin if we went under the law. So there's a misinterpretation of those verses. But I know that the New Testament was written in a way to reveal what's in your heart. That's written. It's written to reveal what is in you. And if you don't want to keep the laws of the Most High, the scripture is going to reveal that you don't want to keep them. And if you are deathly afraid of him and transgressing against him, it's going to show up, and you're going to do everything you can to keep them. So understand that the calendar that Enoch was given by Uriel, he was given a solar calendar, and he was given a lunar calendar. He breaks them both down. The Most High said he gave the moon for the feast day to determine the appointed time, to determine the season. He didn't give the solar calendar to do that. He didn't give the solar calendar to determine the beginning of the month. He gave the moon for that. He said we were to keep it forever. We were to keep his feet forever. And we used the moon to start our counting. Like I said, I messed up in this thing because I used the new moon as it was indicated by science. But the scripture says that we should use the new moon as the sun hits the moon, after the moon comes out of hiding. That will determine the new moon. The beginning of the month. So I will adjust our date and send that out, and that's what we will keep. And we will determine all of the feast days based upon that. The weekly Sabbath, we don't have to do that. We know. We'll look on your calendar. What day is the seventh day of the week? That's Sabbath, starting in the evening. That's what it is. People arguing that, oh, what if the day changed? You got some people, and I'm, you know, I got to find this, but I think I read it at people, you know, trying to reconcile the Enoch calendar, that they use the spring equinox, which is the beginning of spring, to be the beginning of the year, and they also use that to reset their calendar and reset the Sabbath day. So if they actually were doing that, and that last part, I have to re-verify this. I know I read that somewhere. If you do that, let's say today was the spring equinox, and we got today is Sabbath, okay? Or let's say Thursday. Let me make this clear. Let's say Thursday was the spring equinox. You said, oh, that's the beginning of the year. That's also the first day of the week now. So if that was Thursday and Thursday became Sunday, the first day of the week, then the Sabbath would start falling on a Wednesday. Absolutely no sense whatsoever, and it's not obtainable. It's not doable. So it's craziness. It is craziness. And nowhere in the scriptures are we told to do that. That is some man's doing, trying to be wise. So you don't do that. All right, with that being said, I hope something was said to encourage you, to enlighten you, so that you understand why we keep the new moon, because the Most High has set the new moon, has set the moon to determine the appointed time and not the sun. The sun is used in its own right, but the Most High says, my feast days, my appointed times, are determined by the moon, not the sun. And maybe we can use the sun to reconcile the year, like the spring equinox, and know that, hey, the new moon after the equinox is the first new moon, it's the first month of the year, but the equinox does not make the first day of the year, nor does it make the, you know, the reset the week, the day of the week. So let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you on this evening. You are the one that has set the season, and you are the one that has set the appointed time. And you have said how you want us to observe and to celebrate. And you have commanded that we keep them. From evening to evening, we shall keep them. Father, we just want to be obedient. We want to walk before you as you have commanded. And we don't want to do what's right in our own eyes. But we want to do and be as you have commanded, that we might walk circumspect before you, that we might be found right in your eyes and not right in our own eyes. Father, if there be anyone that fights this, then I turn them over to you to deal with. For only you. It's not my job to convince anyone of anything. You told me to tell them. If you want them to believe it, you will make them believe it. If you want them to understand it, you will make them understand. I'm just a messenger. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so I will be adjusting the new moon service. 1, 2, 3. Let me look. I think that's going to be changed to a Monday, but let me look and see real quick. Come on, computer. I guess my computer got busy real quick. Didn't want to type. Oh, maybe I'm typing on the wrong keyboard. Great. While I'm doing this, are there any questions on what we've covered?
Sir, we deal with you.
All right, amen. Let me open the phone line. Any questions for anybody that's called in on the 516 number? Okay, if there are no questions, let me look at the moon phases here. We're in the waning moon tonight, so for about 3 days. If I can find it this way. If not, if I can't find this real quick, I won't hold you guys. I will look it up and send it back out. And so I'm going to make a correction to our calendar. I think it's off by about 3 days. Keyboard down. I am going to it, trying to type to a different computer. Let's see. Okay, they didn't have the first person on here. So, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I will find out when the crescent moon is, the first crescent. It's not on the site that I'm looking at. And that will be the new day for the new moon service for March. And then we will go from there to, well, actually be the new moon for April. It's in March, but it's for April. And then from there, I will give you the new date for Passover. It will be 3 days after. I believe it's going to be on a Sabbath. It's going to fall this year on a Friday night, I think, when I looked it up earlier. But I will get it out to you guys. As I said, I'm going to recalculate and then get it out to you so that I'll recalculate for the rest of the year so that we know, you know, when all the feast days are based upon calculating the new moon as I now understand it, not by, you know, the dark moon as the new moon, as NASA has said, but by the first crescent. All right. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep the commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And each and every one of us have to do it. We have to get this thing right. We cannot do what we've been doing. And, you know, when you know to do better, you ought to do what? Do better. That being said,
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise.
everything that lives and breathes. You made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect.
Thank you.
Shalom, Sister Hazel. Peace and blessings to you.
Thank you.